Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
This is Point of View. My name is Pimelo Motina. Thank you so much for staying with us. 086-000-00959. That's the number to dial if you want to get in touch. On the line with us is Vuyo Zungula, who is an ATM leader on the line with us. I really appreciate you making time for us, Mr. Zungula. Good evening and welcome.
Evening, Pamela. Evening to everyone listening.
And congratulations. I know that you have had a lot on your plate in the past couple of hours, but nonetheless, you are a member of parliament, so congratulations on that.
Thank you so much.
All right. So you've raised a few issues yourself as the Progressive Caucus formation. You have been quite adequately vocal about some of your discomfort and I suppose your, you know, you're quite disgruntled at what you're seeing happening with the Government of National Unity formations. Just maybe overall, give us a sense of where you stand now as ATM. And I ask the question because it does seem like there are a lot of moving parts in the past 24 hours and some people are shifting ground a little bit. Where are you currently and how do you feel about this Government of National Unity as a Progressive Caucus member?
Nothing has changed. Firstly, we want to state that we do not have a problem with a coalition between the ANC and the DA. They are more than happy and they're more than allowed to enter into a coalition between those two parties and bring other parties. However, we've got a problem whereby the citizens are misled that there is a government of national unity, which as per the utterances of the president of the ANC, it is a government of national unity that will be inclusive with the sole objective of getting everyone or every party that has been elected part of the table when it comes to, taking the country forward. However, what we have in our country is a coalition between the DA and the ANC. And when we are raising these issues, it is not because we want positions or want to be ministers, etc. We are not at all interested in those positions. What we are interested in, number one, is that South Africans must not be misled. Number two, we must not have a system whereby the party that got 40% and the second party gang up into running the country and, undermining the constitution. You might have heard this morning that the federal leader of the DA, Chairperson, said that Mr. Ramaphosa, the DA, will not support any inquiry into Palapala of Mr. Ramaphosa, which is a clear violation of our constitution. What would one would expect that all parties should work together in the spirit of the constitution when it comes to accountability and oversight, abide by all of the constitutional values and principles. Not have a case whereby the DA, when it was an opposition party, it was a party that was against the ANC using its majority to fight against and using its majority to actually block accountability and oversight. But when the DA now is part of the ruling arrangement in our country, you find that they do exactly the same thing they were complaining about when the opposition. That is the bone of contention from our side.
Well, I mean, as a Progressive Caucus, you are also at liberty to go out there fighting as the opposition. Are you not confident that you'll be able to do that without the support of the DA?
No, we're not at all wanting the DA to support us. But what you are calling out is the hypocrisy of the DA when it is in the opposition benches. They speak about oversight and accountability and the respect of the rule of law. However, when they get into a coalition with the ANC, then that language changes. You will see that, and I'm sure you recall that on Friday, this opposition caucus did its part in terms of trying to influence the outcomes of Friday, regardless of the numbers. But yes, a big political statement was made. That statement was to expose this coalition. And moving forward, this caucus is going to work very hard in terms of playing an effective oversight over all of these parties that are in a coalition together. So we don't need the DA, but what we are doing now is calling them out for their hypocrisy.
So Mr. Zungula, explain maybe to us what the purpose of forming the caucus was. This is just the other day. Just maybe tell us when you came together. Initially, I understood it to be a grouping of political parties that were unhappy with the IEC. I'm not sure if it's the same objective or maybe that was a different grouping. Explain to us what brought this caucus together.
You'll recall in the 6th Parliament, the parties such as ATM, UDM, PAC, EFF, from time to time agreed on certain issues such as the handling of the inquiry into the fitness of Advocate Mkhwebane.
Yes.
We agreed on the holding of accountable for President Ramaphosa on the Palapala scandal. So there has been that working relationships or that common understanding on how issues should be approached, especially in Parliament. Now, when this 7th Parliament started, one of the biggest contentions was we've got an ANC that is going out to the public and saying there is a government of national unity. And as the name suggests, it is a government which is a combination of all 18 political parties represented in Parliament, all working together towards steering the country into the right direction. However, practically so, that is not the case. So our call to come together was to actually address all of those lies that are peddled by the ANC in terms of them lying to South Africans and saying there's a GNU. And now what we are seeing when it comes to us working together is to say you've got now an alignment of parties that represent capital, that represent private interests of corporates in our country. And those parties have formed a government together. So it becomes important for the parties that represent the people that want fundamental changes into the ownership patterns of our economy and the land to come together and guard against these, the center-right parties that are wanting to keep the status in our country the same. So that is the motivation now, is to say South Africa is slowly being divided into two when it comes to parties. There's the parties that represent the people, which the Progressive Party is one of those, is a grouping representing those parties. And then there's the parties representing the interests of capital and the business interests, which is the ANC and the DA and the like, have clubbed together. So that is what we're seeing politically in our country.
If you don't mind, there's a caller who I think has a comment for you, Mr. Songula. Bongane is calling from Soweto. Bongane, thanks for calling. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Femina Kune, and good evening to your guest today.
Welcome. Go ahead.
Yes. No, I just wanted the intake of your guest today is that looking at the marriage between the two parties, do you think, by your own observation, will the two parties make it until the 5 years, based on the experiences that there were challenges in the parliament previously where the implementation that the ANC used to have and the DA is against them and all that, and the cases of Palestine and the ADA doesn't go along with the Palestine and it goes along with the Israeli stuff. But do you think, irrespective of the discussion and the agreement that took place before the marriage, do you think that they will last up to these 5 years?
Your take, Mr. Songula?
I do not think so, because this marriage is not based on any principle. The only principle in which they are bound by, it is a principle of protecting the interests of capital in our country. Hence, you find that there's going to be such a huge conflict between the interests of capital and their pronouncement as a party, which is the ANC, on issues such as Palestine, the NHI bill, the Bella bill, and other bills in which they passed in the 6th Parliament when they had their outright majority. So it goes to show how in the next coming months and years, you are going to see that marriage actually not going forward, because it is not a marriage that is based on sound principles. Because the sound principle looks at ideological and policy similarities. It does not look at just wanting to assume power to protect the interests of the funders of these different parties.
Seeing as you pointed to some of the issues that actually saw you guys work together, the UDM, ATM and EFF in the past, that you've had those kinds of relationships in the past, but what brings you together now, particularly in this instance, is trying to call out this government of national unity and these parties and telling the public what's actually going on. You've also just mentioned the fact that you don't believe this is going to be around for a long time. When, maybe, if they don't stick around for a long time, as you said, 6 months, maybe you're giving them 6 months tops, does it mean that your progressive caucus then will cease to exist?
No, the progressive caucus, it will always be there. It will always be there looking at the interests of the people. You'll see that what is similar between all of these parties, it is the questions of wanting to change the patterns of land ownership, the questions of the economy, the question of really transforming the country, because what we got in 1994 was not what our forefathers fought for. And in 30 years of democracy, we've seen that the lives of South Africans, especially the African majority, it is large that whereby black South Africans have become poorer. So as long as black people in our country are facing difficulties in terms of the economy, in terms of, special planning problems, in terms of, not being able to access water and, healthcare and having high crime levels, there'll always be a progressive caucus in our country. And our role is to basically mobilize other parties from a principle point of view that is looking at the policies, because it is not enough for parties to just club together, allocate positions, ministerial positions or positions in the legislature, but there's no real fundamental changes in terms of our policies, because all of those things that are happening are not going to impact the daily lives of our people, the lived realities of our people. So that is where we come in as a progressive caucus, which is to advocate and agitate for policy changes in our country that will yield good results when it comes to the lived realities of our people.
You don't think, Mr. Sungula, you should have had this caucus before the elections? You don't think it would have been useful?
There have been discussions, obviously, even before the elections, but when it comes to getting parties to work together to a certain degree, it takes time, because not only do you need to engage the leadership, engage the structures, engage the members, it takes time. So where we are now is not even where we should be when it comes to the parties that are advocating for the transformation of our country. But it is a step in the right direction. And bit by bit, we are slowly taking steps forward when it comes to reaching our full potential, which is the unity of all organizations that are for the fundamental changes in our country, not just cosmetic changes in our country, which have proven for the past 30 years that they are not going to make any material difference into the lives of our people.
The MK party, even up to yesterday, were quite adamant that, yes, they will take up their seats in parliament. However, they still would like a re-election. What's your position on that?
As the ATM were very clear, we issued a statement last week saying that we are going to submit papers to the electoral court to seek to set aside the election results and call for a re-election. Indeed, on Thursday, we did so, because we believe that there has been gross irregularities that have happened in these elections. And by the way, South Africa is not the first country whereby when the irregularities, they get to be overturned by court of law. A few years ago, Malawi had a similar issue, and the court there actually ordered the rerun of the election. So we're in that state again, we're in that state as a country whereby we believe that the only solution is to have a rerun of the election. Secondly, we need to have a reformed IEC, because we can't have a rerun of the elections with the current commissioners in the IEC that will manage the very same elections the same way they manage these elections of 2024.
So you may have been watching what's been happening on social media platforms, everybody talking about the dashboard, the IEC dashboard, that things seem to have changed. The IEC has released a statement explaining and clarifying that it's a combined number that we are seeing there now, as opposed to what we've been watching on their own dashboard, on their website, being the national numbers. Do you want to react to that?
We as a party, we believe that the IEC should communicate beforehand, before doing such things. And there are many things that the IEC has done in these past elections which do not make sense. It was the first time ever that that dashboard in the Rock Center was offline for about 2 hours. Never ever has it happened in our elections whereby the dashboard gets to be offline. So we would want the IEC to communicate beforehand. In fact, what would also help our country is really a commission of inquiry into the operations of the IEC. Look at all of these issues concerning the voters' roll, because we always hear about how many people who are dead appear on the voters' roll. Also, the question of their presiding officers who change the result slips. However, we never hear any criminal prosecution for those IEC presiding officers, whereas the law does stipulate that there needs to be criminal prosecutions for anyone who violates the Electoral Act. So you find that whenever there are discrepancies that are highlighted during the course of elections, yes, people speak out. However, we don't see any fundamental changes. So we believe as a party, this institution that is so critical in our democracy must be scrutinized. There must be transparency. There must be a commission of inquiry to look at what actually happens into the IEC. Who are the role players in the IEC? Who are these companies, audit companies, that are appointed and to manage their IT systems there? How long have they been working? How is their relationship with these IM commissioners? So that if there are any changes that need to be done, they need to be done to give confidence to the people that we've got a truly independent electoral commission. Because we find that now people do not want to vote, not because they don't trust parties. It's just because they don't trust the IEC. Particularly now, you had people that went to vote, spent hours and hours on the voting queues. However, when the very same people go to the IEC website to check the votes for the parties they vote for in those respective VDs, their votes are not counted, which is a clear violation of our constitution, because it is the duty of the IEC. If House Pemelo stands in line to vote, the IEC presiding officer must capture that vote, must record that vote, regardless whether the party agent of the party that House Pemelo voted for is there or not. So we really need fundamental changes into the management of our elections, so that to give confidence to citizens that our elections are credible and they are fair. Not as a case whereby the IEC is going to declare those elections fair and they are going to rush to announce those results simply because they want people to move on. We need to hold the IEC accountable, just like we are holding the other institutions in our country accountable.
Mr. Zungula, I've got a few calls on the line. Thabo's calling to make a comment. Thabo, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for calling.
I'm fine, thanks. I actually find it really strange for these parties that don't want to become part of the GNU. The GNU is actually a proposal that was put on a table by ANC, which invites all these other parties to be part of the challenge that part of the solution to the challenges that we have. And this is optional. So if other parties opt not to become part of it because of the preferences that they have, some have indicated that they don't want to be part of this because of certain parties, whatever reasons that they have. And if so, then they have to allow those other parties that want to become part of the GNU to continue with the process. They can't then come on such platforms and say negative things about this solution that seeks to take us forward and want to destroy it, when they themselves are opposing it with the intention of destruction. Let the GNU take its course. Let's see where it takes us. and let them play an opposition role. And hopefully they will then do that effectively. Those parties who want to become part of the GNU, they will do so and play a positive role in addressing the challenges that we have in this country. Thank you, Minister.
Mr. Zongola, do you want to respond to that?
The all parties were invited into the initial meeting with the ANC. Now, I'll speak on behalf of ATM. We met with them last Sunday. And when we met with them last Sunday, we said we agree in principle about the need to move the country forward, deal with the problems that are faced by the country. However, we would want as a party a document that outlines all of the modalities, the key principles, and the program of action, so that if there's any commitment from our side, it is a commitment that is based on something that we've also interrogated, something that we've also contributed to as a party that has been invited. Now, that was on Sunday. And on Friday, we went to Parliament to elect a speaker, deputy speaker, and a president without the ANC coming back to us. Whereas on Sunday, they said by Tuesday, they're going to come back to us with that document. When we inquired with other parties as well, we find that they were also in the same boat. So it is not true that the parties do not want to be part of a GNU. It is, what is the truth here is that the ANC, pretended to care, pretended as if they're consulting all 18 parties, whereas they were not doing so. Because the utterances of Tony Leon of the DA gave an impression that the discussions between the ANC and the DA were towards the final stages, whereas other parties only met once. They were not even furnished with the guideline documents. That is why the documents now that are about the GNU are only signed by the leaders of the DA and the ANC. The other parties, such as your ISP, your Freedom Front Plus, and your Patriotic Alliance, they are not them, which clearly shows here that the grand coalition is between the ANC and the DA, and the other parties are just invited to make it as if it is something called the GNU. So our contention there, ANC must not lie to the people, and these parties that are in parliament, particularly the progressive parties, it's not as if they do not want to be part of a GNU. If there was indeed a GNU, all 18 political parties would have been engaged, and there would have been a resolution that has been taken by all 18 political parties. The fact that only two parties have signed the document, it is very clear for everyone to see it is a coalition. And the ANC and the DA must call it for what it is, a coalition, not a GNU.
Can I just take Ntata Selby, who's on the line with us from Orange Farm. Ntata Selby, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamela. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling, Ntata Selby.
Mr. Zungula, how are you?
I'm all right, and how are you?
I'm blessed beyond measure. Mr. Zungulo, I'd like to know, according to you, or according to ATM, do you think this coalition between ANC and DA, is it going to benefit the country or not? And if not, what is it that ATM and its partners, its alliance, are prepared to do in order to help the South Africans?
Mr. It is Sunkula? Definitely not going to help South Africa. You see now where you have, because you can't have an arrangement or a coalition with, on paper, ideologically opposed parties. One party believes in providing access to healthcare for everyone, and signs the NHI bill. The other party believes that that is not supposed to happen, and they're going to court to challenge that. So it can't be that when DA was not in government, it was challenging everything that the ANC does. But when now it is in government, it is going to turn a blind eye over all of those things that they were actually challenging. So what we are doing now, critically, is to educate and inform South Africans, which is to conscientize South Africans about the state of the country when it comes to the politics, and using our role in parliament to play an effective oversight role to guard against any abuse of power by the DA and the ANC. The utterances of Helen Zille today clearly shows that in the next few months, under the rule of the ANC and the DA, it's going to be a rule whereby the constitution is undermined, and going to be a rule whereby and there's not going to be a rule of law, because you found because Helen Zille said Mr. Ramaphosa will not, they will protect Ramaphosa when it comes to Palapala, which clearly shows that these are the people that are basically going to undermine the provisions of the constitution that actually encourage and parliament to hold the executive accountable or scrutinize the actions of the executive, such as what that impeachment motion that was spoken about on Friday is seeking to achieve. So that is what we're going to do. Conscientize people, educate people, but most importantly, we're going to utilize our seats in parliament to defend the rights of South Africans when it comes to the abuse and undermining of the constitution by the DA-led ANC.
Well, Zongola, thank you so much for your time. Thanks, Ntate Selby. Thank you so much for calling. He's an ATM leader. On the very same note, I also want to bring in Al Jamal.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.